Are there any people who are attending the teachings for the first time here and haven't attended yesterday? Can you raise your arms?
Because I told him about
So since majority of the members of the audience have been here yesterday, so we will continue from the text where we left yesterday. However, one thing I would like to share is that it is important to bear in mind and understand that one commonality of all the teachings of the great religious traditions of the world is that in all these faith traditions, the emphasis is on not so much relying upon external material conditions for one's well-being and happiness, but rather to focus upon the internal development and inner resources. And from the philosophical point of view, as we discussed yesterday, the differences, the demarcating line between a Buddhist tradition as opposed to a non-Buddhist tradition is whether or not one subscribes to a belief in some kind of eternal, permanent self. And in Buddhism, one of the primary grounds upon which the notion of an eternal, permanent and unchanging self is rejected is because of its emphasis on the understanding of law of cause and effect, the causality and dependent origination.
So today in the Sanje Chu Nimbuda Tawa the Chava Nichi Tawa the Tinju Tawacha.
So the essence of Buddha's teaching can be really summarized within two elements. One is the philosophical standpoint of the Buddha's teaching, and which is the understanding of dependent origination, the view of the dependent origination, and the conduct or the action of the Buddha's teaching, which is the action of non-harming and compassionate. So because of the basic Buddhist understanding of dependent origination as its fundamental philosophical standpoint, there is a deep emphasis placed upon the understanding of, as explained before, the law of cause and effect. So the point being made here is that if on the causal stage, if one creates conditions and causes that has the potential of bringing about suffering and harm, then as a consequence of that action and chains of causation, on the level of at the stage of effect and result, one will experience consequences and effects that are consonant with that set of conditions that one created. Similarly, if on the causal stage, if the conditions and the actions that one engage in are constructive, something that has the potential of benefit and help, then these actions, you know, on the resultant stage will bring about consequences and effects that are again a consonant with those set of conditions. So the point being made here is that you know, a good action will lead to good results and consequences, and bad and negative actions and negative causes and conditions will lead to undesirable consequences and effects. So in essence, the heart of the teaching on the dependent origination is basically this: if you do good, you will reap beneficial results or outcome. If you do evil or bad, you will reap the consequences which are undesirable.
So today in this one, how is that the dominant actual one? Today in this one, how am I sharing?
So since harm, causing harm and violence is a condition of that creates suffering and pain, and therefore there's this emphasis in the Buddhist teachings on avoidance of harm and avoidance of violence. So when we speak of avoidance of causing harm or avoidance of engaging in violent activity, how do we demarcate between violence and non-violence and harming and non-harming acts? Now, that distinction of non-harming versus harming or violent versus non-violent action cannot be made simply on the basis of external appearance of the act itself. The demarcation really must be made on the basis of the motivation, the state of mind that underlies the act.
So today in the
So at the root is really compassion as the motivation, and because of this, you know, I mean, at the root, non-violence must be defined in terms of an act that is grounded in compassion. Therefore, often Buddha's teaching is characterized as being rooted in compassion. So when we speak of engaging in acts that are non-harming and that avoids violent activity, one can understand this in terms of two levels. On the initial level, when we speak of engaging in actions that are non-harming, motivated by compassion and a concern for other sentient beings, one deliberately refrains from engaging in harmful actions. So that's the first stage of the action of non-violence or non-harming, where it is primarily in the form of refraining. However, as one's capacity for a compassionate activity increases, then on a later stage, when one becomes more advanced, not only does one deliberately refrain from harming others, but one must actively engage in acts that are beneficial and helpful to others. So this practice, the action of compassion, is really the skillful means or the method aspect of the path, your spiritual path, And the understanding of the dependent origination is the wisdom aspect of the path, the insight aspect of your path. So when you can combine these two together within your own spiritual practice, then your practice will and your practice and action will become truly powerful. So when we speak of the Buddhist understanding of dependent origination, of course there are different levels of understanding. One level of understanding of dependent origination is in terms of cause and effect, how everything and every event comes into being by means of dependent upon causes and conditions and other factors. So that's one level of understanding of dependent origination. And also in the Madhyamaka or middle way school writings, there is also a deeper understanding of the meaning of dependent origination, where not only are things and events understood to arise in dependence upon causes and conditions, but also their very identity as things and events are dependent upon other factors. So they are dependent upon convention, designations, and so on. So this idea of dependent origination, although in terms of systematic presentation, they may have originated primarily in the Buddha's teaching and the Buddhist writings. However, so far as the philosophical perspective of dependent origination is concerned, this has relevance, or this can have relevance in many areas, such as with relation to our understanding of the natural environment, with relation to our understanding of the nature of a modern economy, or even in politics. In fact, this idea of dependent origination can be applicable and useful in many areas of human activity, because the more we are able to appreciate the deep interconnectedness of everything and every event, or all events, then naturally we will have a much more holistic perspective on everything. So, if asked, what is the essence of the Buddha's teaching? What is the heart of the Buddha's teaching? One can respond by saying that the essence of the Buddha's teaching is the advocacy of a way of action or conduct that is rooted in compassion, and that is non-harming and non-violent, and which is also premised upon the philosophical standpoint of dependent origination. So one can say that this really captures the essence of the Buddha's teaching.
Yang 동해 지 동해 양용아 다와 지 사실 소화 대화 양 다 망사로 엔진이 응원주 평소지 다 두지셔야 돼 체지 두지셔 다 지네 털두지 아니 뭐 땡도 대화지 동해 그 싸워 머리빨 양부 땡이 머리빨 빵배 아니 탈바디 밀리디 다와 털두고 두지셔야 돼
So in terms of the goal of spiritual practice in Buddhism, one speaks of two goals. One is the temporary goal of attaining birth in the higher realms, endowed with the facilities for engaging in practicing Dharma. And the ultimate goal is the attainment of liberation from cyclic existence. So the rebirth in the higher realms is characterized as the temporary goal because it is in the higher realms that the individuals have a relative degree of freedom from many of the more evident experiences of pain and suffering, and which also accords the individual the opportunity to engage in spiritual practices and so on. And the ultimate goal of attainment of liberation, here the liberation is understood in terms of a total freedom from suffering, which is characterized by total elimination of the fundamental ignorance which lies at the root of our unenlightened existence. So it is that liberation that is the ultimate goal or aspiration, object of aspiration for a Buddhist practitioner.
사드레인이잖아요. 분소 대시사 소인 말이. 아니 내가 붙었죠. 응원도. 딱 응원도 다단 내용 분소. 털도 붙었죠. 네. 내래. 딱 내가 그게. 아니 가서 우리 그게. 딱 내래 저기 한데 서울 딱 내래 뒤지. 뒤안이야. 뒤줄지 놀. 아 아니 털도 내래. 두야기 주지. 쳐. 이셔야
Because of this acceptance of a temporary goal of attainment of rebirth in the higher
realms,
in the Buddhist text, one speaks of four factors of human aspiration, and these four factors are listed as attainment of one's object of aspiration. And acquisition of wealth, and practice of dharma, and attainment of nirvana. So the wealth is seen as a factor that would enable the individual to attain the mundane aspirations, so that the individual has the facilities to then engage in the practice of dharma, and then the dharma is the factor that would lead the individual to attainment of liberation. And dharma here refers to the practice of the three higher trainings, the trainings in morality, meditation, and wisdom.
자상하다. 자상하다. 어미를 찾아나. 다시 내거부터죠. 땅은 대형기 분소다. 뒤둘지기다. 놀. 뒤차적으로 상대로서지. 상대로서지.
So generally speaking, with respect to the first two factors, which is the attainment of mundane aspirations, and also the means by which that attainment is achieved, which are the material wealth. Generally speaking, in North America, you have pretty much achieved that.
세상은 가면서 저바이 망구지 다 아메리칸으로 들어오시나 아메리칸으로 들어오셨어도 와
So, because of this, many Tibetans are very eager to go to the United States, and because you know they believe that by going to the States, they will be able to at least fulfill the first two aspirations, the acquisition of wealth and the fulfillment of desires. So these Tibetans are not contented with the teachings of the three higher trainings, and not contented with the three higher trainings, they would want to run to the United States. However, in the case of many individuals in North America, there are also cases where individuals, after having gained a relative degree of wealth and also a relative degree of fulfillment of one's mundane aspirations, then sometimes individuals also feel a sense of incompleteness and also a certain form of disillusionment and frustration.
Yeah. So that is
Such experience of a sense of kind of incompleteness or something lacking or frustration, even with the material acquisitions, is understandable, because if we think more deeply, we will recognize the importance of having some sense of contentment with relation to material facilities and acquisition, because anything such as material acquisitions and wealth and so on, which are finite, which have a limit, that they can cease to exist, or they will come to an end, whether it's material objects or whatever. Any object that has an end, that are finite, with relation to these objects, it's always more wise to have a sense of contentment instead of being, never satiated. It's always wiser to be contented. However, with relation to phenomena that have the potential of being infinite, such as the qualities of the mind, the positive qualities of the mind and so on, with relation to these qualities, then one should not have contentment. One should always aspire for more. However, most of us, we do the opposite. With relation to material acquisitions and so on, many of which are objects which are finite and have limits, we have very little contentment. And with relation to spiritual qualities and the mental qualities, we have kind of a very easy sense of contentment. And also, it's this inability to be contented with what one has, which is also very deeply related to the kind of huge gulf between the rich and poor that we see particularly in the more affluent societies.
Oh yeah. 지지기면은 내가 가시오다. 어레. 다들 저도 무슨 예리리야. 어느 당은 비슷한 양도. 자들이 이제 어 내가 그저 먼저 분소 시기에 있는 자네 새침에 먼저 분소 당 대신도 미스들이 이네 지금 기버 파트로 전화 뒤에 가서 두세 인물.
So since in the Buddhist texts that the attainment of mundane aspirations is also understood to be a legitimate goal of spiritual activity, So not only is the attainment of a rebirth in the higher realms in the future life is also an object of aspiration, but also having material excellent, mundane aspirations fulfilled in this life too is something that one should aspire for. So with relation to the ultimate goal of a Buddhist practitioner, which is the attainment of liberation, referred to as the definite goodness, so there is the attainment of liberation from cyclic existence, and also the attainment of full Buddhahood. So in the Mahayana text, there is the identification of two ultimate spiritual goals. One is the attainment of liberation from cyclic existence, the other is the attainment of full enlightenment. And corresponding to these two goals, ultimate goals of a spiritual practitioner, there are also two main obstacles that one must overcome. So the obstacle for the attainment of liberation is the defilements in the form of afflictions, the kleshas, and the obstacle to the attainment of omniscience or the full enlightenment is the subtle obstructions to knowledge.
Oh, yeah. 但你问问这个的,
so how do we distinguish between the defilements in the form of afflictions and defilements in the form of subtle obstructions to knowledge? Here, of course, depending upon the philosophical understanding of the ultimate nature of reality, there are differences among the schools.
So 최기단지디 시집을 중시야 대수다 미치고 차버리 저들이 인도산에 따오는 지 그래서 시집사에 그들이 샤워를서나 따다디 덴진디 뉴질을 샤워 인도산에 따오는 탈지처 토발로 파도 중에게 아니 시집사에 가르슬나 아니 죽지거리야 소원은 신기 너는 덴지 대샤고 파자디 시집시비야 덴지 대샤고 파자다 아니 대인주분이나 추가 주제들이 시집을 송구하래. 다가는 신기 대니모 타자도 집에 점수나지 송구도 다 대니 시집을 시비하래.
So how do we understand the differences between these two main defilements? Defilements in the form of afflictions and defilement in the form of subtle obstructions to knowledge. Here, of course, as explained before, there are differing explanations in the Buddhist writings. However, the most definitive and profound explanations of these defilements are found in the writings of masters such as Chandrakirti and Buddhapalita and Shantideva and so on, in whose writings there is a very explicit explanation of the primary form of afflictions being that of our natural grasping at the true existence or substantial existence of all things and events. And so this grasping at the true existence of all phenomena is really understood as a form of mental affliction. And this is, in fact, this is also understood to be the fundamental ignorance. The fundamental ignorance underlying our unenlightened existence is really this innate grasping at the true existence and substantial reality of all phenomena. And this is also very clear in Nagarjuna's own writing. For example, in the 70 stanzas on the middle way, Nagarjuna explicitly states that when identifying the 12 links in the chain of dependent origination, he identifies the first link, which is the ignorance, explains ignorance in terms of grasping at substantial reality and true existence of self and also phenomena. And then he says that this ignorance, the grasping at true existence of self and all phenomena, then sets in motion the whole chain of the 12 links, giving rise to volitional acts and so on, culminating in the birth and death. So here there is an explicit recognition that grasping at true existence and substantial reality is a form of affliction. It is the fundamental ignorance. Similarly, in Aryadeva's 400 stanzas on the middle way, he compares grasping at true existence the basic body faculty and all the other derivative afflictions as the other sense faculties. So just as all the other sense faculties, such as our visual faculty, auditory faculty, and so on, are all based upon the basic body faculty, in the same manner, all the derivative afflictions, such as desire and anger and so on, are really grounded upon this grasping at a true existence of things. So he explicitly draws the causal connection between the derivative afflictions and the grasping at true existence. And then, having identified what this fundamental ignorance is, then Aryadeva goes on to state that it is by cultivating insight into the suchness of dependent origination, ultimate nature of reality of the dependent origination, one will then dispel this delusion. So here, by identifying the understanding of or insight into the dependent origination, which is emptiness, as the key antidote for dispelling ignorance, implicitly Aryadeva is also recognizing the grasping at true existence of self and the phenomena to be also a form of mental affliction. So we find these a very explicit explanation of the defilements in these texts. Then the question is, if the grasping, this fundamental grasping at substantial reality of self and phenomena is a form of mental affliction, what what is the, then the subtle obstruction to knowledge? And here, Chandrakirti states in his own commentary to supplement to the middle way, Madhyamaka Avatara, in his commentary, he explains that it is the imprints implanted upon one's psyche by these afflictions, by the grasping of true existence. It's the imprints and the propensities for grasping, and including the dualistic perceptions that we have, as well as perception of the duality of two truths, the conventional and the ultimate truth. These are the subtle obstructions to knowledge. So this kind of this perspective, this way of distinguishing between the two defilements is quite different from the perspective where the grasping at the selfhood of phenomena and grasping at the self-existence of the person are thought to be different, which is another standpoint. So the path to the attainment of such ultimate goal, which is the full enlightenment of the Buddhahood, and there are two vehicles explained in the scriptures. One is the perfection vehicle of the sutra, and one is the Vajrayana, the adamantine or indestructible vehicle. And in the within the Vajrayana, as we discussed yesterday, there were three divisions identified, these being the Kriya Tantra, which is the action tantra, the vehicle of the action tantra, and then the vehicle of the Ubaya Tantra, and then the vehicle of the Yoga Tantra. So the vehicles of the disciple and the self-realized ones that we discussed yesterday, these are the primary vehicles for attainment of liberation from secular existence. So, with relation to these three vehicles, the vehicles of the disciple, the vehicles of the self-realized ones, the Pratyeka Buddhas, and the Bodhisattvas, there are some sutras, scriptures, where the Buddha explicitly states that these three vehicles constitute final vehicles in themselves. So, in other words, that the vehicle of the Sravaka, the disciple, constitutes the final for some individuals for whom it is appropriate. The attainment of the final enlightenment of the self-realized one constitutes the final vehicle for some individuals, similarly for the Bodhisattva vehicle. However, in other sutras, in other scriptures, Buddha has also stated that the vehicles of the disciple and the self-realized ones do not constitute final vehicles, because even those who attain enlightenment of the disciples and the self-realized ones will eventually enter the Bodhisattva vehicle, and all beings will ultimately attain Buddhahood. So even within the teachings of the same teacher, the Buddha Shakyamuni, we find these conflicting statements with relation to three vehicles. So this is to underscore the point that I mentioned yesterday, that the Buddha taught his teachings in response to the need of specific particular individuals. For some, one set of teachings is more effective and beneficial. For others, the other sets of teachings are more effective and beneficial.
대신도 잠방공도 잠주 때문에 나 자잖아요. 그런 더디기한테 우터도 되고 숨도 숨겨야래. 배지 레터도 되고 숨도 숨겨야래. 다야 집에 귀라만 대비가 우리 터도 되고 집에 세우셔 숨겨야래. 대신도 이제 따와 차라 뒤에 잠방공도 찍으래 뒤 이내야 유제 왕기 땡주 소소수 흉 소소 나로리엠 순간매라매라. 근데 형대기도가 다른 내신기 파보토미기에 유일하면 제가 쌍 유일하면 송이 늦잖아요. 우모부 시작했어. 야, 그래다. 그런데 창서도 송이 늦잖아요. 노리겐 시작했어. 그 내용도 와.
So this approach of adapting the Buddha's message, in response to the individual context, has also been carried on, continued by subsequent Indian masters, such as, for example, in Maitreya's five treatises of Maitreya, the five teachings of Maitreya, for example, Ornament of Mayana Sutras. In Ornament of Mayana Sutras, Maitreya explains the standpoint where the three vehicles are presented as representing final vehicles in themselves. However, in his Uttara Tantra, or Ratnagodra Vibhaka, Sublime Continuum, Maitreya adopts the opposite standpoint, where the first two vehicles do not constitute final vehicles, and the Bodhisattva vehicle is the final vehicle. Similarly, in Asanga's writings, in his commentary on Maitreya's Uttara Tantra, Sublime Continuum, he explains the Maitreya's teaching primarily from the perspective of the middle way philosophy, the Madhyamaka school. However, in his own text, such as Bodhisattva Bhumi, Bodhisattva Levels, there the perspective he adopts is primarily that of the Chittamatra, or the Yogacara school, as presented in Sutra Alamkara. So even in the writings of one Indian master, and we find different standpoints presented. Now to carry on from the text where we left yesterday. Yesterday we finished the reading of the explanation of the Kriya Tantra, the Action Tantra, and the second is the Ubaya Tantra vehicle. Ubaya means both. So here both refers to the external activity of rituals and so on, and internal meditation as well. So the text reads, the view of those, this is on page 35, the view of those who have entered the vehicle of Ubaya Tantra is as follows. Whilst there are no origin and cessation on the ultimate level, on the conventional level, one visualizes oneself in the form of a deity. This is the same as in the case of the Kriya Tantra. And then the text goes on to explain that this is cultivated on the basis of both the practice of meditative absorption endowed with the four aspects, as well as the necessary ritual articles and conditions. So the meditative absorption endowed with the four aspects, here the four aspects is identified in Kong Tu's commentary. He gives two alternative readings of that. In the first instance, he identifies the four aspects to be the suchness of oneself, the practitioner, the suchness of the deity, which is the object of meditation, and the suchness of the mantra repetition, and then and the suchness of the actual visualization and the meditation. Or he says that these four aspects can also be understood as referring to the sound, which is the mantra, and mind, which is the meditative state, and then the self-generation, which is the generation of oneself as a deity, and then the generation of the other, which refers to the generation of deity in front of the practitioner. So these four aspects, the meditative absorption endowed with the four aspects, refer to these aspects, and it is through the combination of the meditative absorptions and the reliance on the external conditions, such as rituals, and this particular form of yoga is achieved. Then Kong Tu, in his commentary, goes on to explain that although in some texts there is a mention of, in the Kriya Tantra, the visualization practice taking only in the form of a front generation, visualizing deity in front of oneself and receiving blessings, and there is no practice of generating oneself as a deity, but Kong Tu Rinpoche explains that this must be understood in terms of the differences of the principal Kriya Tantra meditation and secondary practices, secondary deity practices. So in the principle Kriya Tantra, Action Tantra meditations, and certainly one must have the meditation of generating oneself as a deity. And in the secondary practices of deity yoga in Kriya Tantra, then the blessing takes the form of visualizing the deity in front from whom one receives and imagines receiving blessing. But the principal tantras of Kriya Tantra must involve, must contain a practice where the practitioner himself or herself will generate into the deity. And and this is in agreement with the explanation of the Kriya Tantra found elsewhere, where there is an identification of six forms of deity yoga meditation in Kriya, such as the empty deity, the sound, focusing on the letter, in the form, and on the
hammer,
the signs or the hand implements. So in the Tibetan tradition, there are many meditation practices, deity yoga meditations, that belong to the category of Kriya Tantra, the Action Tantra. There are many deity yoga meditations. But however, with relation to the second tantra, which is the performance tantra or Charya Tantra, apart from Vairochana Adisambodhi, there are very few deity yoga practices in the Tibetan tradition. However, I've been told that in Japan, there are quite extensive Charya Tantra practices, including Vairochana Adisambodhi and also Vajradhatu practices. And these two are very prominent in the Japanese tantric tradition, and which the lineage of which came, of course, from China. So next is the Yoga Tantra vehicle. So then the text reads, the view of those who have entered the vehicle of Yoga Tantra is twofold. One, the view of the outer yoga, the Tantra of the sages, and two, the view of the inner yoga, the method Tantra.
So 로차와 남도 제야지 숨 내려해. 단 내가 남배 조디 다 로차와디 다 남중 오게야지. 될래야 애니 절로문 잡는지 랭귀야래. 저 딜레이바 이두산에 내저 친한 이부디 여와 제야디 다 두 시소면로 다 가라지 치 장로로 서고지 저절레이 등기래라 소인다 간다 기도 오마카 이부디다 투모에. 가다 이루라고 되게 되네 탁시기다 내저 장야 찍다 난 내저 난과 탑기 교육세는 송대야 되기 아오 솔루 틱리 내저게 탑 진짜로 떼네 아니 라벌루브루에 아니 가서 우리 보게 남도 어디 봐 가서 우리 보게 시월체 아니 차원 육매시에봐 오늘 교회 더하네 아니 탁시기다 내저도 돼야지.
So the distinctions between the two yogas here, the inner yoga and the outer yoga, is really made on the basis of the approach of the practitioners. So in the case of outer yoga, although unlike the action tantra, the kriya tantra and ubhaya tantra, the tantra of the both, here the emphasis is really on the internal yoga of meditative concentration and not on reliance upon external conditions and the ritual articles and so on. However, in common with the two lower tantras, in the outer yoga, still one does use these external conditions such as rituals and ritual articles and so on, including the practices of purity laws and so on. However, the emphasis is really on the internal yoga of meditative absorption. The difference is that in the outer yoga, the state of mind or the level of mind that is used in one's meditative absorption still remains on the gross level of consciousness. Whereas in the inner yoga, not only is the practitioner totally independent of dependence upon or reliance upon the external means such as ritual practices and so on, but how not only that, but also the level of mind that is used in the meditative absorption is really the subtle one. Therefore, it is referred to as the method tantra, and method here referring to the methods and the techniques that are used in bringing about the experience of the subtle level of consciousness. And such methods include the yogic practices of focusing upon the channels and the winds, the energy, the prana, winds and so on, and the drops, the bodhicitta drops. And it is by employing these methods, such as focusing upon the channels and the energy, the prana winds, and also the bodhicitta drops, the practitioner brings about the experience of subtle level of consciousness, which is then utilized to engage in the meditative absorptions. So the difference really between the outer yoga and the inner yoga is really made on the basis of whether or not the level of mind that is used in the meditative absorption is a subtle or gross.
That day, the Savishulisha, Tando Rimbani di Lamne, Susu di Kuyu to Tudu Yemi di Chabertes. 다 내조라미기 아니 추수군이고 두야기 투모모임베 다 년령기 주소디디 가서로 고민하지 숨겨버리 내조 치벌이야 디셈해버리 다 디슈우디 디도가 라미 유네 셰베 참배 내가도 그래 참배 그래 가 미봉으로 해 어 자니다 람이 균의 셰베 람 튀미 찍라 마젠바 다들 지나냐 람 투무스도 이게 마타가 쉽게 되나다 이게 마타 그러도 람이 균의 셰베 람 튀미 찍라 마젠바 람 셴 찐드시기자 라나 메베 이신 민주부로 송신 다 디슈데 대내장스 실의 예베 외세 남친도 송아탕 대원이 수고
카저 양라 듄젠 람도 제바니 라미 규 코네 공과탕스 다 들으시아 다 가라세비샤도 카저 그게 내저 라미게 다 주문 모임베 내저 라미 라나 메바 세네 세고야게 다 내저 쓰다디 다 탑시 예미시베 차네 내저 쓰리 여러분 요가 세네다 탑시로 예미시베 지나 내저 That day, I'm the so in it, Nangan Nanjolo, so chevichane, Nanjo Gu. Tell her, Nangan Nanjo, so chevich, Nanjo Gula, Nansigi, any Lorabe, any Nanjo so chevati, Nanjo Chiba. Then, Muxum Mundu Chene, Tini Lambu Chiadi, Nanjo Nangwa. T, Lana Meba in between Zindi. 이게 가서 그게 대비꾸도 투니부티 급지기 그 투부 많이 받디 눈매 외세기 때문에 세금하도 라버 루브르에 자 라베스는 루브르에 민다고도 와 땡가로야 하다 차원 눈매 시바디 눈마서 손야 되기 그 땡도 내댕이지 차비어 하다 상가랑주 다대 시바디 토모해 받네시는 탈 남진 살이야 그 뒤마셔버지는 롯데하게 싸워 삼도서 때 육매셔버지 강 삼당고도 와. 라고 누구 내급 내급으로 봐. 사진이 이미 인도산에 나와 육매셔봐 람도 채네. 아니 남진기 년링기 줄 깨야지다. 대다 모일 매배 아니 가시 그래요. 주사면다. 양난 저지를 때네 아니 이게 수구 수구 투모이 뱅 수구다 다 수군이 렉이 줄지야지 어다 디 나저 낭바 짱짱을 맞어 다 매바래 난 너도나 나저 라메스 다디기 뉴메 이시 짜도 정해 그런지
So in Kongtul's commentary, he makes it very explicit that the inner yoga, it is only in the inner yoga where one finds the approach of the two stages, the generation and completion stages, which provides the method for the practitioner to, the complete method for the practitioner to bring about the attainment of the two embodiments of the Buddha, the form body and the truth body, Dhammakaya and Rupakaya. And therefore, he explains that in many scriptures, Vajrayana scriptures, there is explicit statement that it is only by relying upon the practices presented in the unique teachings of the highest yoga tantra, Anuttara Tantra, that one can attain the full enlightenment, Buddhahood. And therefore, highest yoga tantric practices are referred to as highest yoga or Anuttara or unsurpassed yoga because they are unsurpassed in the sense that it is only in these teachings the complete methods or path for the attainment of the Dharmakaya and Rupakaya, the form body and the truth body of the Buddha are found. And the reason for that is because it is only in the highest yoga tantra teachings and there are methods explained whereby one can utilize the innate mind of clear light, the innate mind which is ever present, transforming that into the path. Because many of our grosser levels of mind, they are adventitious. They are occasional. They do not. They are not. They do not last. So they arise and they cease to exist. They fluctuate, and they so they are occasional and adventitious. And the yoga that is cultivated on the level of gross levels of mind and cannot really be lasting. So therefore, it is incomplete. So in order for the yoga, that is aimed at attainment of the two embodiments of the Buddhahood to be comprehensive and fully effective, that yoga must take place at the fundamental, subtle state of one's consciousness, which is referred to as the innate mind of clear light. And it is in the highest yoga tantric text the methods for transforming the innate mind of clear light into the aspect of the path are explained. Therefore, these practices are referred to as yoga. And yoga means the indivisibility of method and wisdom. And so, however, the highest yoga practices are referred to as anuttara, which is unsurpassed, because it is only in these teachings the method for effecting the innate mind of clear light into a meditative absorption into a path are found. So therefore, Kong Tul explains this very clearly in the text and makes the distinction between the outer yoga tantra and the inner yoga tantra along the lines of whether or not one finds the techniques and the practices for turning this innate mind of clear light into path. So we read in the text, this is on page 35, the view of those who have entered the outer yoga, the sages' tantra, is as follows. Not holding the external ritual articles to be of primary importance, they cultivate their goal on the basis of emphasizing the yoga of visualizing male and female deities that are devoid of ultimate origination and cessation, and the form body of the Noble One that share resemblance with them, which is the meditative absorption endowed with the four seals of a thoroughly purified mind. So this reference to the visualizing male and female deities that are devoid of ultimate origination and cessation is simply not a statement that these deities are by nature devoid of such origination and cessation, but rather the emphasis on the need to cultivate the understanding and realization of these deities as being devoid of ultimate origination and cessation, as explained before. And it is this wisdom, realizing the emptiness that is then imagined as arising as taking the form of a deity. And so in the outer yoga, which is the Charya Tantra, the meditative absorptions are endowed with what are called the four seals. And these four seals correspond to our body, speech, mind, and action. So it is the outer yoga practice is really modeled upon processes of purifying our body, speech, mind, and action. And in relation to these body, speech, and mind, and action, four seals are mentioned, which are the pledge seal, and the dharma seal, or reality seal, and the action seal, and the great seal. So, and it is through the meditative absorption, endowed with these four seals, the yogic practitioner goes through the process of purifying body, speech, and mind, and action, and then attains, prepares the individual to attain the body, speech, and mind of an enlightened deity. So, one of the characteristics of the Charya Tantra, the performance tantra, or outer yoga, as explained here, as described here, is the tremendous emphasis placed upon the mudras, hand gestures, which are part of the ritual, the meditation ritual. And in fact, many of these hand gestures, the mudras, are very complex. So, for example, there are very few experts who are, totally knowledgeable of these intricate hand gestures, the mudras. So, in fact, when I was giving the transmission of the teaching on Vajradhadu, which is a Charya Yoga Tantra, the action, the performance tantra, I often... Yoga Tantra.
Yoga Tantra, so what is it?
The principal Yoga Tantra, I have to rely on an expert who is sitting next to me, and he will be guiding me so that I could perform the... So it's almost like he is shepherding me. So, because... So on one occasion when I was giving one of these teachings, the abbot of Namgyal Monastery, the then abbot of Namgyal Monastery, he is a great expert on all these intricate mudras, the hand gestures. So he was sitting on one side of the stage, and while I had to perform these mudras, intricate hand gestures, I had to, of course, look at him all the time. And because it was for such a long period of time, I started having, you know, strains on my neck. So finally I asked him to sit in front of me so that I don't have to strain my neck.
롱 우머 슝네 팀숨 제더게 장배 댄데 이시시다 텔레 독배 쩨메 이시 나라미 유튜브 모임배 내조도 줄고 식디 대니지 권에 계속 저버티 로진 담아 시르소 정루지 캐바다자 셰라스 진짜 다오 낭서 디기름샤 동서 디두름샤야게 시바지 룩지 다 안데디 젊으시게 디숭구야레 로제 담아시리 디숭샤 제니 다오 롱오머 슝네 팀숨 제네 아니 텐지기 때와 남께네 젠젠데베다 대동의 띵인지 남께바네 아니 젠젠데베 내줬다라 조정문 내줘 되면 대연세계 아니 간단 다 가서 딱 대연세계 다 가서 우리 그게 내줬다라 기름이 내줘 딱 남았잖아 아니 마주베 내줬어야지 그봐 기름데 아니 쬐메 내줬으니 어디로 써야지 이게 말이야 다 기름 계속이 캐버 된데 계속 요로 들이송 딱 들이송배 계속니 들이송배 계속니 사직 사직이 기름 랑스 띵진 넘숨 나 가로다 주의 띵인지 끝난 게 띵인지 말해 뒤지 띵인지 끝난 게 띵인지 주의 띵인지 다오 철롱조선 자연주자는 추구 뒤지 띵인지 누구 끝난 게 띵인지 추구 주의 띵인지 자네 다 구순 가라 띵인지 숨 숨야 띠 띵인지 숨 연세 띠 다들 깨봐서 하자. 깨봐서 하자. 다들네, 좁아서 하자. 단, 귀 띵인지 띠, 다 사분 짱짱 세도 셔래. 사분 짱짱 귀 띵인지 띠니, 아니, 띵곡 을마 펌니, 아니, 땜벌하소 신의 깨대하지. 저자 왔다, 땜벌하소 신랑은 나빠진지, 땜벌하소 고미하디, 좁아 내셨어. 다티네 규주기 류 개반의 중화 다지 아니 소구 덤직대 류리야 류질 하게야지 류질 하게야지 예때다 대삼자 랑그 도주 풍부의 양화도 매버려 자와 소바 침부 주인 송샤 다 안드 되게 깨봐 깨봐 내줘 소바 내줘 소바 침부 내줘 쓰대야지 띵인지 숨 띠 깨배는 좋지. 기름은 좋지. 대네, 서구 깨야 돼. 아니, 좁아내 좋지. 대네, 서구를 류진 거야, 서구. 아니, 저기, 면진, 두두시 하러, 두두시 하리. 다시, 에라, 뒤 있어. 아니, 좁아 쳐면 좋지. 뒤 대신, 딱 간다. 사이, 난조, 사이 계속 찍을래. 아니, 낭세기. 가서, 뺀다시, 두버, 두진, 세하러, 마, 여, 쳐버는지, 사이 계속 찍을래. 아니,
So we now read from the text on the section on inner yoga vehicle. So we read the text reads the view of those who have entered the vehicle of inner yoga, the method tantra is threefold: one, the mode of generation; two, the mode of completion; and three, the mode of great completion or great perfection. So here in the commentary. Kongtul explains that the distinctions between the generation completion and the great completion or great perfection here should not be confused with the general distinction between the Mahayoga generation and Anuyoga completion and Atiyoga great completion or great perfection, which is found in the general explanation of the Dzogchen teachings. So the distinction here is not the same, exactly the same as the one found in general explanation of the three stages of generation, completion, and the perfection, great perfection in Dzogchen teaching. And then Kongtul, in his commentary, goes on to explain that generally speaking, between the two stages, the stages of completion and generation, they are among the Tibetan scholars or Tibetan masters, there are primarily two standpoints. One is the standpoint of Longchenpa, the great Longchen Rangchenpa, and his disciples, according to which the completion stage and the generation stage is understood in terms of the aspects of a deity yoga meditation, where the aspect of the emptiness and the aspect of the appearance. The aspect of the appearance is relates to the generation, and aspect of the emptiness relates to the completion.
但是根据亚瑟孙子山呢，根据我信你孙子山呢，根据我信你孙子山呢，根据我们龙泉山讲不得，根据什么经文里边的。
So probably Kong Tul here, when referring to Longchenpa and his disciples, he is referring to the two Kunjins, the first being Longchen Rangchenpa, and the second or the latter being Kunjin Jingwen Lingpa, in whose writings the distinctions between the generation stage and the completion stage is made on the basis of understanding the
two.
So the reference to the Jingmei Lingpa, Kunjin Jingmei Lingpa being a disciple of Kunjin Longchenpa does not imply that he was an immediate direct disciple. Jingmei Lingpa was much later, but in his biography, it is mentioned that once when Jingmei Lingpa was meditating in Samye Monastery, he had Monastery, he had a mystical experience of having a visionary experience of receiving direct blessings and inspiration from Longchenpa, and therefore he's referred to sometimes as a disciple of Longchenpa. So in their writings, the distinction between the generation stage and the completion stage is made on the basis of the two aspects of the deity yoga meditation, the emptiness aspect and the appearance aspect. However, so Kong Tul then goes on to state that the most excellent way of understanding the difference between the two stages is the one found in the writings of Lojen Dhammashiri. And this also happens to be the position of Tsongkhapa as well, where the distinction between the two is really drawn on the basis of whether or not the individual practitioner has been able to generate a wisdom of the union of bliss and emptiness on the basis of the entry and abiding and absorption of the prana wind into the central channel. So, in all subsequent experiences of yogic meditative states, which arises following the entry and the abiding and the absorption of prana winds into the central channel, these stages are referred to as a completion stage, and all prior stages of deity yoga meditations or visualizations, they are described as belonging to the generation stage. And because of this, sometimes the generation stage is referred to as the contrived yoga, because it's a simulated form of yogic practice, yogic states. Whereas the completion stage is referred to as the uncontrived yoga, because it is non-simulated. And there, so that sometimes the distinction between the two is, outlined by pointing one to be the contrived, the other to be uncontrived. So Kong Tul goes on to explain that this is the most excellent way of understanding the differences between the two stages. And however, then Kong Tul in his commentary goes on to explain, however, the distinction between the three stages found in this particular text is completely different. Here, the mode of generation, the mode of completion, and the mode of great completion really refers to various stages of a single deity yoga meditation. So, and the deity yoga meditation here is described in terms of what are called the three meditative absorptions. One is referred to as the causal meditative concentration or meditative absorption, and the meditative absorption of appearance of everything, and then meditative absorption of the suchness. And these three meditative absorptions correspond The order is wrong. The first stage is the suchness, the meditative absorption of suchness. The second is the appearance of all. And third is the causal meditative absorption. And these correspond to respectively Dharmakaya meditation, Sambhogakaya, which is the Buddha body of enjoyment, and Nirmanakaya, the Buddha body of perfect emanation. And so the process of engaging in these three stages of meditative absorptions belong to the mode of generation, according to this text. And the culmination of these three processes, which is the actual visualization of the complete deity, that is referred to as the mode of completion, because there is a completion of the process of generating oneself as a deity. And then the mode of great perfection here refers to great completion here refers to, you know, in the aftermath of having completely generated oneself as a deity, there are other practices such as visualizing deities on specific points of the body, such as the body mandala and meditation, and these constitute what is referred to here as the mode of great completion.
No, yeah, that is, zao de ma, login de sheng shuo. Nan zhong na bo te bi ju ge te wo le shu guan nu ji dao an de na bo sun de jie be shu de zhe be shu de zhe bo shu be shu lu. Te le jie be shu ni, ding jin na bo sun ren ji jie de, jing guo ren ji ge jing guan bai zhuo wo. Zhe be shu ni ten tan bo jian gan mei be ta zhong tan mo de na bo mei dou bei ten. 나와 서주 쓰라지. 아까 다시 다 마다 관제게 쉐지 탐제로 아드시아마다 보는 시 유익이 주님원의 삶 담배 있나야? 그러나 바로 주신배 태배숭 내야 시시 념리세 송도가 그러나 원도 지나 시시 념리세 하시고요 아래 나가는 시 로르고 있는 흉먼 그 난리야 아니 시벌은 신매반이 양해 대신 제반이 선하다고 관대 예매만 그 송은 도가 시시 념리 송은 도가 단지 유치니의 고모시 유치니의 삶 담배 있는 니거는 시 동부 임배 집어시 단지 난조 난고 탑지 거블이야 다 이시 육면시에 쌓아도 되는 시비가 있잖아 다 나시시비 최대 탐자로 변화 사운드비 최대로 재배이나 아니 팀버 롱중 중어 룩도 시전에 송대하게 나가다 가시오리 그게 지 친한게 풍급지지 최대 탐자로 아니 레롱구왕게 용대야 당가서 마답에 풍급지지 쉬어지니 레롱구왕게 레롱 레롱구왕게 용대야 레룬용야디디人心解除道外用的呀人心解除道外的那是偷松不用的呀但是那是偷松的人心解除龙人心解除铁呢가시고그게남도숭진기아니숭진기남도기숭진기룸위에네다노스네아니가시고그게레사제아니뉴주코코대야 누주 코안주대야 도심구야라. 딱 팀벌 루도스잖아. 다 지금 수풍으로 쏘고 디디 나와 디디 파 라고 디디 파르베르베르베 가네. 사추 춤메 메룽 룽 남시 남시 난가 난가 똥고 당고 똥고 입어 똥고 수버신 야팀 루도 왔다. 와. 딱 중얼 하더니 추우살래. 팀벌 롱중 안에 당연히 팀벌 롱중이 야지 다마 마차를 이루자네 중을 룩도 써야 돼 터베 이시 체베 이시 에는 나의 이시 되네 에니 가서 우리 그게 롱매 출사 마용 돼야지 서준매 롱 난가 서준매 롱 남신 난가신 야팀이 난가 남신 롱매 출사신 기림 내용도가 자 지금 이메일 주사네 전전대비 다 가시고래 그게 낭지 토숨 강래 찰 강도 높서디 유명해 시체 맞아 다 유명해서 어다 지도자네 콘대 탐지 그 집어버로디 유명해서 내용도가 자장가 대탐지로 유명해서 그 자랑 대장당 사대지 자 지금 이메일 인도다 가서 안 되지. 어다디 진짜 인류 진짜 대표다 육매 외세 가서 우리 그게 아주 훨씬 커둘이야. 그러나 그러나 정신양대서 아주 소원은 신기. 다 육매 시바디 육매 외세디 대지 가서 우리 그게 예상해봐. 대만은 나버렸다고. 지면 레몬이 와. 지면 그래 내가도 열대 이내 외세 코랑도 지면 레몬이 와. 얘는 타고 예상해봐. 자, 이래 이르자네, 레부스, 레뷰 연대한다, 디니, 다, 가서 우리, 구승투수승, 가서, 쥐에다, 간다지, 사우승기, 나발에 샤드바다, 샤드바, 내가 올라다, 뉴메, 애네, 랑다이버, 따지메디, 마다베 풍급지지지지, 딘딘데베, 예상해봐, 정신, 대일러봐. 이래 이르자네, 혼자서, 냐바니, 레용도와. 마지 시보 코에쳐 있는다 마다보 코에쳐 있는다 다고 이게 가서 우리 그게 주사나다 또 삼위 풍부지 실제로 있는다 대 탐절로 육매 외세를 열반 야지 자상가 유기 외생은 뭐냐 봐도도 마세베 숨쉬 시드 신앙 니수체 윤두 그다음 신앙 그 최대 탐절로 시 육매 외세 탐해베 시바 육매 외세 주고 상대 예상제바 대인 남녀 시작도 시작이. 근데 능식이 최선적으로 예상계배 당신이 뭐지? 딱 뒤두인 거래. 구성투지 띵골지 정신 얘는 이 뭐 떠내 공부 대시 대양 규례 도주 풍부히 연하네 조회상계 나로 차. 기지 감는 망복군 전주 선배 띵골이 세수 젠다 마마기 멜룬 거거 점마데 남과 인기 원주마 세수미 옛날 나버 타 진중데 코와다 양을는 데베 쉐탐제 옛날 마제라 스르자네 다 그 중문이 모두 시기요 말에 간다이니 데 탐제로 외세게 인내 샤데바 외세 대문에 샤요나 철문매데바 자 네 그러니 외세들아 dimache sunde age lubur tu juda kenji sap tu kejin su ene gado ya dene mele ko ye tamane ye daba namyang ka pomme ba ta tu ne denge ji ime yidu sene wesen dimache so dene yindu kho da nyangal len de be chhe tam je ye ne ma je la cha wa che ne be gyu mo de wa che bo yin chu lo so be ran shi ye ne yin be chhe ye san je be ran shi dame ne Nawa naso bati tamjalo deme eni hari yajaba. Renshin yene yinbeche, che tamjal renshin ki nyangalen deba de. Nyangalen deba de, chumbungani yungye renshin, kumbungani ringe sange, namre seba shini, chanju seba shi renshin, yu shini, zebe hamu shi renshin, ombu shini, Changju Sembe Renshi, Tu Shini, Shibar Hamu Shi Renshi, Lugi Ongboda, Nabra Sheba, Yu Da, Tele Chumwe, Changju Sembe, Choyo Renshi, Dakshe Mu Shini, Chomyo Renshi, Yigi Nabra Sheba, Changju Sem, Doji Kudu Sambu Renshi, Yul, Che, Duje Den, Duma Cheni, Che, Chawa Mo, Kudu Sambu Renshi, Teda Kyan, Yene, Ngombara Sobara, Sangyewe Renshi, Yingi, Te Lamji Dugwa, Mayeno. Renshi Nyangde Sayade, Lamji Dugwa Yamarwa, Ko Renshi Yuevrawada. Oda, Da Dineshiri. Tēr lāṅgī trūpa mā yīmē, tēr tār chōshū tūsūnda, kāṅsūnda sōpa, dūjē tār dīmā chēbē, chē tāṅjē rāṅgī sēmlē kūyīnā mē tēs. Tā tī kāṅsūmbu dīnā sēmzā mō sōngā tī, dōngā tūmūngu kā mē chē. Tā āndā tī rāṅgī sēmlē kūyīnā mē tē sōngā tī, tā nyūng mē shēbā tēr sāṅdā nē. Tī rāṅgā, tī sē, tī kēntu yē tēbā. Tā tī rīgī rīzā nē chīgē tū. Rāngsīn sūsū tōwāni sāngjē chāngshū tīnīdō, jīgdēn sūmbū tīnīdō, jōngā chēnāng tīnīdō shēnjūngō. Chīgē tū chōyā tāmshēni sēmlē nēsō, sēmlē nāngālē nēsō, nāngā nē jīlāyā mīnēsō shēnjūngā. Tī nāngā tī chī nāngā tī mēmēchē, nāngā nāngā. Nāngā nāngā tī nyūngmē wēsē. Nyūngmē wēsē tīnīyē ngō kāne tādēwa, yīrūsā nē nāngā nē jīlāyā mīnēsō. 신중하당 최삼세의 원인이 동보 최삼세의 대만은 나발 다보 최삼세의 용기 외세오 최삼세의 정신이 양하는 대보 최삼세의 공부서와 상계보 예상계보 인사 목간에 타고 예상계보 인세 송소 니는 속아치 보고 송자
sorry So we read from the text, it's on page 35. The view of those who have entered the vehicle of the inner yoga, the metta tantra, is threefold. One, the mode of generation. Two, the mode of completion. And three, the mode of great completion. One, the mode of generation. The mode of generation is achieved by means of the meditative practice of gradual development of the three meditative absorptions, which were explained before, and gradual creation of the mandala. And then the mode of completion is achieved by abiding unwaveringly within the visualization of male and female deities that are ultimately devoid of origination and cessation, as well as the middle way of ultimate expanse, which is the non-conceptual truth, while on the conventional level, cultivating in perfect equanimity and unmuddled manner the form of the noble deity with clear visualization. So this reference to the ultimate nature of reality, referred to as the ultimate expanse here, should be understood in its proper context. Since we are dealing here with the context of highest yoga tantra, Anuttara yoga tantra, the references to terms such as ultimate expanse or the ultimate truth, Paramartha Satya, and Vajradhadu, Dharmadhadu, and so on, should really be understood within the context of, or according to the Anuttara Tantra explanation. So here, one needs to understand the ultimate truth and emptiness on the two levels. on one level, there is the objective emptiness, which is the emptiness and the ultimate truth as explained in the Middle Way philosophical texts, where we refer to basically the emptiness as it is understood in the perfection vehicle. So this is the object. However, the ultimate expanse or the ultimate truth in the Vajrayana context must also include the second dimension, which is the subjective dimension, the subjective experience of that emptiness. And here, it is not just referring to any other subject, but rather to a unique subject, which is the experience of that emptiness at the level of the innate mind of clear light. So it is this innate mind of clear light that realizes emptiness, which is also referred to as the ultimate truth and the ultimate expanse. So, and this is described as non-conceptual. This is described as a non-conceptual, non-conceptual truth. And it is in this context one must understand the meaning of ultimate expanse in the context of Anuttara Yoga Tantra. So, and this is described differently in the different lineages. For example, in the Kagyu teachings of Mahamudra, sometimes this union of the objective emptiness and the subjective clear light would be described as the indivisibility of awareness and emptiness, Rikton Yerme. And in the Sakya teachings, it will be described as the indivisibility of the clarity, the luminosity, and emptiness. And because in the Sakya Lamdre cycle of teachings, clarity is understood to be the defining characteristics of mind, and emptiness is understood to be the nature of mind, and it's the union of the two that is understood to represent the ultimate nature of reality. So in the Sakya language, the Lamdre language, it will be described as Seltong Songjuk, the union of the clarity and emptiness. In the Giluk language, it will be described as the indivisibility or the union of bliss and emptiness. So emptiness is the objective emptiness, and the bliss here refers to the great bliss of innate mind of clear light. So in the Giluk language, it will be described as the union of bliss and emptiness. And similarly, in the Dzogchen language of Nyingma school, sometimes it will be, well, it will be, because the understanding in that Dzogchen tradition is the distinction between ordinary mind and a basic kind of Rigpa awareness, and there is a discussion of kind of a pure, a pristine cognition. So in the Dzogchen language, one will speak in terms of the reality being primordially pure, and its nature being that of compassion. So it's the union of that reality and compassion. So when the text speaks of ultimate expanse in the highest yoga tantra context, referred to as the representing the non-conceptual truth, one must understand the ultimate expanse in terms of the union of this emptiness as explained in the Madhyamaka writings, and also the subjective experience of clear light, and that is focused on, that is fused with that. And so, therefore, it explains that the origination and cessation, as well as the middle way of ultimate expanse, which is the non-conceptual truth. So this also alludes to the understanding of how entire phenomena comes into being, you know, as a result of the play of this ultimate expanse. So in the next stage, the text explains the mode of great perfection is to meditate on the basis of understanding all mundane and supramundane phenomena, or all worldly and transworldly phenomena, as being devoid of any differentiation, and to recognize as always having been present as the mandala of body, speech, and mind. So this, in the language of Guhya Samaja Tantra, one will understand the entire origination of all factors of both cyclic existence and nirvana as a kind of a manifestation of the activity of this innate mind of clear light. So as a sequential arising of the processes or reversal process of dissolution. So for example, in the Guhya Samaja Tantra literature, we find explanations of how the entire element of cyclic existence, of the afflicted world of samsara, are really kind of a product of the activity of what I refer to as, activity of karma and the prana energies that are propelled by this karma, and underlying which are the activity of what I refer to as the 80 conceptions indicative of the various levels of consciousness. And these 80 indicative conceptions in turn are sort of grosser levels of manifestations of more subtle states of consciousness, such as the appearance, increase, red increase, and near approximation or near attainment. And these three subtle states of consciousness, which then give rise to the 80 indicative conceptions, these three subtle states in turn ultimately arise from the fundamental innate mind of clear light, which is the fundamental state of mind, which remains ever-present and which is enduring. And from that point of view, sometimes this innate mind of clear light is also described as unconditioned by temporary causes and conditions. So in terms of its continuity, it is ever-present. So sometimes it is described also as the unconditioned or unborn nature. So in the Guhya Samaja literature language, we find description of how the entire world of samsara and nirvana are in some sense can be seen as a play, a constant play or manifestation or kind of a resonance of this fundamental innate mind of clear light. And when seen from that point of view of clear light, then there is certainly no differences between, there is no distinctions to be drawn between samsara and nirvana, unenlightened or enlightened state. And so far as the equanimity of samsara and nirvana is concerned, we also find references to that even in the sutra teachings as well. For example, there is a passage in Maitreya's Abhisamaya Alamkara, Ornament of Clear Realization, where he talks about the equanimity of existence and the transcendence of existence or tranquility. Similarly, in Nagarjuna's Fundamental Wisdom of the Middle Way, we find explicit statements of the equanimity of samsara and nirvana. But in these sutra writings, the equality of samsara and nirvana are really understood from the point of view of their ultimate nature of reality of being empty. But in the Vajrayana context, the equanimity or equality of samsara and nirvana has an added meaning of how all of the factors of both samsara and nirvana can be understood in some sense as a kind of a play, a constant play or a manifestation of the subtle mind of clear light. So the text therefore goes on to state that it is stated in the Tantra, as for the limbs of the Vajra body, they are known as the five Buddhas, the sources and the numerous elements. They are the mandalas of the Bodhisattvas. Earth and the water are Lochana and Mamaki. Fire and wind are Pandaravasin and Tara. The space is Dateshvari. So the three worlds are primordially pure. So all phenomena of cyclic existence and nirvana are primordially unborn, yet they have the capacity for illusory function, as they have always been in the nature of the 10 Tathagatas and their consorts. So this reference to the all phenomena of cyclic existence and nirvana as being primordially unborn doesn't imply that they do not come into being. you know, due to their causes and conditions. But this primordially being unborn refers to the perspective from the point of view of the innate mind of clear light. Then, because they are all in some sense kind of manifestation or effulgence of this innate mind of clear light. So in that sense, they can be referred to as unborn. And then we read, all phenomena are therefore naturally transcendent of sorrow. So here there is an indication that all phenomena are in some sense primordially pure. And this, and sometimes also referred to as primordially enlightened. And they are primordially Buddhas. Now this reference is because so far as the fundamental innate mind of clear light is concerned, its nature is always pure. It is the afflictions and the various defilements coexist with it, but they do not penetrate into the essential nature of the clear light itself. So so far as the clear light mind is concerned, it is pure. So from that point of view, all phenomena can be that arises from it can also be described as being primordially pure and being in the nature of primordially Buddhahood. So therefore we read, all phenomena are therefore naturally transcendent of sorrow. The great elements are in the nature of the five consorts, the five aggregates, the nature of the five Buddha families, the five consciousness in the nature of the four great bodhisattvas, the four objects, the four beautiful goddesses, the four senses, the bodhisattvas, the four temporal stages, the four goddesses, the bodily organs, the consciousnesses, the sensory fields and the bodhicitta drops arising from them, the four wrathful deities, the four extremes of eternalism and nihilism, the four wrathful female deities, the mental consciousness, the nature of Samudrabhadra, namely the indestructible bodhicitta, the objects of both conditioned and unconditioned phenomena are in the nature of Samudrabhadri, who is the receptacle of the creation of all phenomena. All of these, in turn, have already been in the nature of complete enlightenment. So this is as explained before. They are not acquired now by means of the path. So this refers to the natural enlightenment, which is the fundamental mind of innate clear light, because that is ever-present. That is not brought into being as a result of the path. Thus, all phenomena, conditioned and unconditioned, such as the 10 directions, the 3 temporal stages, the 3 worlds, and so on, do not exist apart from one's own mind. So this reference to all of these not existing apart from one's own mind should not be understood in terms of the statement of the Buddha in the Sutra context, where he talks about how all phenomena are one's own mind. But here, it's really referring to how all phenomena are manifestations of the innate mind of clear light. So then the text reads, it is stated, the clear understanding of one's own mind, this is the Buddhas and the Bodhisattvas. This constitutes the three worlds. This constitutes the great elements as well. Thus it has been stated, all phenomena dwell in the mind dwell in space, while space dwells nowhere. The space here does not refer to the external space that as we conventionally understand. The space here refers to an inner space, which is again the clear light that we have been speaking about. And since clear light is ever present, it dwells nowhere. Furthermore, to continue, all phenomena are devoid of intrinsic nature. All phenomena are thoroughly pure from the very beginning. All phenomena are thoroughly radiant. All phenomena are naturally transcendent nirvana. All phenomena are manifestly enlightened. This is the meaning of great perfection.
Rang 가스 만장 게 하다 하무 신라젠 샤다버 룹 미규지 외세지 쓴 버식 매나 관자 탐지 낭도 미룡하다 외세지 쓴 태 예배 최 탐지 태 레제도 샤워 좀나 해삼 시기 이시랑난 게 내 지침을 쓴 바 인데 도우십시오 다 네 사람들마 但 你这个学的人家控制我们这些人他这说过去不怎么接受送给同样你们那些起步的这位同样引起那个对于每个这个没这些猫但是他还容易上那些你的卡座这边是因为举行这里你的卡座来这个人家学的东西对不贵当学校送过他 저렇게 해지 뒤서 산매리 태세 미식 틀리수 용거진이 누수점 외세 나간 반작배 수신이 따로네 시시해도 텐데 심기 뇽마 텐데 심기 뇽마 터도 대충주 머시도 심지어 남긴 난그 감조다 치료기 내리다 롱주로 속고 탐지의 용수 꺼진 새로운 남의 풍부남 외세도 팀내 라야 레게왕기 지진침의 벌스기 풍부남 샘테 랑당수 샤베 추기 통모맵의 코웨 콜로남 기신 게미 세모들 나올 세베 능시 샘 터두근 은혜 능시 샘 터두근 은혜 짐의 꿈과 뒤져야 매라 남식 레룽그 여와 바사다 세바 탐지 라는 미담의 추기 여와는 시워 대세 샘 융마 미식의 모 디니 대가랑 말해 심육문 미식의 모니 대가랑 남바삼지 겸비 이시수로 마도 톱세의 연대 샌설라라 밀레베 주신지 시추구 루두기 아다 가속을 보게 림마다 이는 하고를 쥐두 날로리야 시구숨 살송도와 시추구 외사들 시추구 민단에 따고 데뷔 타본인데 매매 인도산에 시세민다. 간다 데뷔 타본인데 그 추구다 가수를 그게 전신 남다. 나가는 시 코라 동서 그 레바 매듭을 지금 뭐네 야 추구민다. 그래 용도 되고 그런 상황도 왜 그도 우리가 싸워 싸워 아주 제대. 아니 세두기 싸워, 니두기 싸워, 아니 치두기 싸워. 무슨 그 남자를 실수 용도 봐. 어제 저 지금 코 지고 인물 나 이리. 대 시 상계로서 그 민다대 타쳐벌 심지 제 심지 제래 나와숨 기준에 되게 쉬어들이 심지 제래 나와숨 기준다 낭지 토숨 그 낭지 나와숨 기준다 대래 군도 그 교와 피준다 대래장 공해 시바 심지 기준다 군도 유무 만남과 때네 래 소주다 래 대왕게 로소수 깨는 남 깨네 탐지당 내 톰에 탐지 용순 주비 주장 대단히 내급 터두도 대단히 내급 탐지도 육매심 품줄매징 밀림니기 손주도 샤워다 뉴주 대의 교주도 능수당 대니기 균세래 규모대비 증세기 나버라 장원나 뉴주 강랑 마다고 실을 쓰고시 미주소 균지 처분 나서 땅을 잘라
So then, in the commentary, Jamgon Kongtu summarizes his statement and states the conclusion. He says that in this context, when we read references to the term jnana, which is transcendent wisdom. We should not understand it in terms of just any other form of jnana or wisdom, but rather we must understand in terms of jnana or wisdom at the level of clear light, the mind of clear light. And similarly, when we find references to the term resonance, self-resonance of something, we should not understand it purely in terms of a resonance of anything, but rather resonance of that innate mind of clear light. And then he goes on to explain that in the Dzogchen literature, sometimes the clear light is described as being that of unconditioned. And here, Khonsu Rinpoche points out that this meaning of unconditionedness is not the same as characterization of permanent phenomena as unconditioned, such as the mere absence of something. So space defined in terms of the mere absence of obstruction, that is an unconditioned phenomena. So this is not the meaning of unconditionedness in the context of Dzogchen explanation of unconditionedness. Unconditionedness here refers to the clear light mind being unconditioned by any temporary causes and conditions, fluctuating, adventitious causes and conditions. And then he goes on to, in the commentary, goes on to really substantiate Khonsu Rinpoche's own understanding of these teachings and the concepts by citing from Saraha, the great Indian yogi, and also a citation from an earlier tantra, an old translation text, and then also from another tantra known as the Tuya Tigle, a drop of liberation or a liberating drop. This belongs to a new translation tantra, in all of which an explanation is given how the emergence and the evolution of the entire phenomena of cyclic existence and nirvana can be understood as manifestations arising from the innate mind of clear light. And so then Khonsu Rinpoche then refers to the explanations found in the Guhya Samaja Tantra, as explained before, how the entire process of the coming to being of cyclic existence can be understood in terms of the function of the activity of the 80 indicative conceptions, which arises from the three subtle states of progressively subtle, grosser states of consciousness, which are referred to as the appearance, increase, and the near attainment, all of which arises from the innate mind of clear light. And it is the arising and the dissolution of from this innate mind of clear light, one must understand the origination of the cyclic existence, samsara. And then Khonsu Rinpoche goes on to explain that when we say that the entire phenomena are manifestations or play of this innate mind of clear light, one does not need to prove that all objects such as vase, pillars and everyday objects are somehow manifestations of this. Rather, the meaning here is that insofar as the individual sentient being is concerned, his or her experience of the entire world of phenomena really arises from this process. It is from the karmic actions, the prana winds, activity of the prana winds give rise to progressively grosser levels of consciousness, which then culminate in the 80 indicative conceptions, which then culminate in afflictions, which then motivate the individual into action. Then the action sets in the whole chain of causation within the cyclic existence. So it is in this manner, so far as the individual himself or herself is concerned, the entire cosmos, in fact, are really functions of the innate mind of clear light. And then, this is, particularly, so here we can understand, if you look at the language of the Guhya Samaja Tantra, there is an understanding because of this, the innate mind of clear light sometimes is described as the basic dharmakaya, or foundational dharmakaya, or basic dharmakaya, and the language of the basic dharmakaya suggests that the whole process is understood in terms of some kind of analogous process of the arising of the three kayas, the Buddha body of reality, Buddha body of perfect enjoyment, Buddha body of perfect emanation, and these also have correlations to even in our day-to-day experience of the periods of waking state, the period of sleeping, deep sleep, and also dreaming. And because of this, in these tantras, we find specific practices, meditative practices, which are aimed at mixing, the so-called mixings, mixings during the waking state, mixings during the sleep state, and mixings during the dream state. So if you understand these processes, then you will understand what is meant by... the waking state, sleep, the sleep state, and the death, not dream. And then Kongtu goes on to explain how one analogy that one can find here is how all the dreams that we experience are in some sense manifestations of our sleep, as arising from that state of sleep. So in the similar manner, one can understand the arising of entire phenomena of circular existence as coming out of this innate mind of clear light. So, and then in the commentary, he then states that for detailed explanations of these, one should consult the great commentarial treatises on the tantras. So, just as in the sutra system of teachings, we find references to what is called the natural nirvana and the non-abiding nirvana. The natural nirvana refers to the emptiness of all phenomena, ultimate nature of reality, which is naturally pure, which is naturally devoid of any grasping at intrinsic existence. And the non-abiding nirvana refers to the individual who has not only realized this natural nirvana, but also has purified all the defilements, which are the adventitious obstacles and the defilements. Then one attains the non-abiding nirvana of Buddha, of Buddha. In a similar manner, in the Vajrayana context of highest yoga tantra, sometimes there is a language of the naturally pure wisdom, naturally pure jhana, and thoroughly pure jhana. So naturally pure jhana or wisdom refers to the innate mind of clear light that we all naturally possess, because its essential nature is unpolluted. So from that point of view, it's naturally pure wisdom. And once the individual, through the practice of the path, gains a total liberation and Buddhahood, then at that point, not only is the clear light mind of the individual pure, but also the individual is free of all the adventitious defilements. Therefore, at that point, this individual's innate mind of clear light can also be referred to as the thoroughly pure wisdom or thoroughly pure jhana. So such languages are found also in the Vajrayana literature. So we will stop here.